Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Do we have a signal now? Do I have to go through all of that all over again? Yes. Again, turn me down just a little bit. I'm way too hot. Verse 10. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Therefore, there it is again. What's this one there for? Let's back up. Let's go back to verse 8 and 9. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. This is the lame man that he has healed. And immediately, not tomorrow, not an hour later, immediately, the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. There it is. That's what all this is there for. What things had Jesus done on the Sabbath day? First, he healed the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. Second, he revealed himself to the newly healed man so that this man knew it had been Jesus Christ who had performed the miracle and made him whole. So Jesus here is attempting to get the attention of a crowd who is not very friendly toward him and really has no interest whatsoever in hearing what he has to say. See, they had eyes to see, but they couldn't see. They had ears to hear, but they wouldn't hear. Why? Very simply. Because their hearts were hearts of stone. They were not saved, redeemed, and changed by the love of God. How many times has God had to take the same approach with each one of us? Well, I'm sorry. He probably hasn't with you, but he's had to do it a bunch of times with me. As if to say, Doug, I love you. Now pay attention. And he says it in love, of course. How many times have parents had to say that to their children? And why? Why have parents had to say that to their children? Because again, the parents love their children. And they don't want them to miss the point the parent is going to be making. Even if it's something as simple as, don't touch that hot stove, you're going to burn yourself. The child needs to hear what's being shared because it's that important. Jesus doesn't want the Jews to miss his point either. It's that critical to their well-being and their eternity. Also, please take a note here. He knows they're plotting to kill him. And yet, he loves them so much, he's reaching out to them in love, despite their hatred for him. Can anybody relate? One, two, three, four, five. Oh, here we go. Now allow me to be transparent with you for just a second here. I don't have that capability. If I knew you were out to do me harm, it's highly, highly unlikely that I would be compelled in and of myself to help you or to love you like Jesus. Verily, verily, I'm just saying. So pray for me. Back to our text, verse 24. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. First off, who's Jesus speaking of when he says this? God Almighty. Elohim. Yahweh. Abba Father. God Almighty. Secondly, who is Jesus speaking to in this statement? The Jews of his time, right? Right. But who else is he speaking to? He's speaking to you and to me. He's speaking to all mankind. He is addressing everyone who will listen and who will hear. If we have believed Jesus' promises of salvation and accepted him as our Lord and Savior, God is our Heavenly Father, correct? John 3:16, and I'll get it right this time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Who in here believes that? So we have everlasting life. We will spend eternity in heaven. Right? Why? Because Jesus provides the way to eternal fellowship with God Almighty through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Why? Because God loves us and wants to commune with us for eternity. 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. You see, love is both an attribute of God and a description of his very being. It is who he is, and it is what he is. God alone is the embodiment of divine love and the source of all true love. He can't love us any more than he already does, nor will he love us any less despite ourselves. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So again, what is Jesus saying here? He is saying simply, if you hear the message I share and believe God Almighty loves each of us unconditionally, you will have life eternal. That is his message to everyone, not just a select few. Beloved, the message of hope doesn't get any simpler than that. You can't break it down to any more rudimentary elements, as they like to say in science. Why there are those who choose not to believe it baffles me. Well, no, actually, not really. It doesn't. They disbelieve for one of two reasons. Either they think they are good enough that they don't need to be saved, or they believe it can't be that simple. But it is. And those of us who are here right now can attest to that. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but the older I get, I am honestly looking forward to leaving this earth and going home to heaven. Dawn's already said she was going to go first so she'd have the house all ready for us, but now, don't get me wrong, loved ones. I love y'all, and I love her. But you don't hold a candle to being home with Jesus Christ. Amen. This is shocking, though. There are those, again, not here in this body of believers, but there are those who would have you believe that it can't be that simple. They would have you believe that so much more is required. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be, what? Saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto, what? Salvation. It doesn't get any simpler. But there are those who teach the false doctrine that you can pray your loved ones into heaven, or you can pay their way into heaven, or you can work them into heaven so that everyone gets into heaven one way or another. Much like the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who added so much to the original law because, in their opinion, the original law just wasn't enough. So they added so many more oral traditions to it. But Paul exhorts us in Colossians 2, verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Loved ones, let me allow me a moment of bluntness. I've been transparent with you. Now I'm going to be a hammer for a second. None of what we just mentioned will get you or your loved ones into heaven. It just won't happen. You can't pray them in. You can't pay them in. You cannot work them in. You cannot sneak them in. You cannot carry them in. There will be no please hold moment for anyone. There will be no waiting room experience for them. Scripture clearly states it. We just read it. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, period. Hard stop. That's the truth. Once that last breath is drawn here on earth, everyone will find themselves face to face with God Almighty. Not in purgatory, John 5, verse 25, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Now be careful here. Jesus is making a very important point and is calling them to pay attention. Who are the dead he is speaking of? Not the ones already in the grave. He is speaking of those who have not been saved. He is speaking of those who have not repented of their sin. He is speaking of those who are dead in their trespasses and sin. Was there anybody here that were dead in trespasses and sin besides me? Okay. As the beloved pastor Chuck Smith expounded about this verse, quote, "Jesus will soon be going down into hell and preaching to those souls in prison that he might deliver them from their captivity. The hour is coming. It's almost upon us, where those that are dead are going to hear the voice, and they that hear shall live." End quote. Remember, loved ones, Jesus knew why he had come to earth. He had one purpose: saving lost souls. That was his ministry. That was his mission. That was his ministry. Verse 26, "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself." This verse explains how a person can receive life from the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God is the source, and God is the giver of life. And he has decreed that the Son, too, should have life in himself, and that he is able to give it to others as he does. Psalm 36:9, "For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light." David here is worshiping the greatness of God. David here is worshiping the provision of God. David here is worshiping life eternal through his Son, Jesus Christ. First Corinthians 15:45. "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." This expression, "the last Adam," was coined by the Apostle Paul as a reference to Jesus Christ. So the first Adam, the first man on earth, way back in Genesis, was a living soul. Yes? And we are fashioned after him, correct? Amen. So we are living souls. Jesus Christ was the last Adam. He was a quickening spirit, a life-giving spirit. Yes? The contrast is not so much between the soul and the spirit as it is between living and life-giving, which is what quickening means, life-giving. This thing called life is common to all men. Who here has a life? Y'all didn't think you were going to get this much exercise tonight, did you? This thing called life is common with all men. We're born, yes? We live life, yes? And then we die. Wow, what a life. Yet the second Adam, Jesus Christ, offers infinitely more than that. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I, this is Jesus speaking, am come that they might have life and that they might have it in a fraction. Oh, more abundantly. Let me ask you a question. Who are the they that is spoke of here? Did you cheat? Did you look at my notes? They are us. Poor English, probably, but I get the point across. Everyone who has accepted the free gift of salvation offered through the pure shed blood of Jesus Christ, we are they. They are us. If that doesn't excite you, may I suggest you check for a pulse? Verse 27, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Not only has God decreed that Jesus Christ should have life in himself, and that he should give it to others, but God has also given Jesus authority to be judge of the world. Jesus is called the Son of God, but also the Son of Man. This is a messianic title, as we see in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. This Son of Man who came to the Ancient of Days is none other than the Son of God approaching God Almighty. It is Jesus Christ. So we see here the first and second persons of the Trinity, God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son, together. Our last two verses, verses 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation or condemnation. Loved ones, we will all come and stand before God to give an account of our life. One-on-one. Nobody else will be there with you. You won't have an advocate. You won't have a lawyer. You won't have your mother. It'll be you and God. It shouldn't come as a mystery, because it's clearly outlined in these two verses. If you have not yet accepted the free gift of salvation through the pure shed blood of the Savior Jesus Christ, I encourage you to do just that. Confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord. Repent of your sins. Believe in your heart he was raised from the dead, and accept his free gift of salvation. It's really that simple, that basic, and that easy. Well, I'm not ready. Okay. But for those of you who are not ready, hear me and hear me hard. Hear me well. If you take nothing out of what I've said so far tonight, let this stick with you. You cannot get yesterday back. It's gone forever. And tomorrow will never come. You aren't even guaranteed the next minute. You've heard it said we're all on borrowed time. Yeah, we kind of sort of are. Because all we have is right now. I encourage you to make wise use of the time that you do have to ensure the security of your eternal future. If you have any doubts whatsoever, get on your knees, confess your sin, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's okay to be honest and say, God, I'm not even sure that I am. He won't hold that against you. He will assure you. Make your calling and election sure. As Jesus said in verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, thank you and praise you for this message. Short, sweet, simple, but so profound, so full of your truth. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you made it easy for us to be saved, to accept the free gift of salvation. We thank you and praise you for your son's sacrifice on the cross, bearing all our sin, that when you look upon him, you see the darkness of our sin. When you look upon us, you see his righteousness. We don't deserve it. We never did deserve it. But that's your love for us. For God so loved the world. We thank you. We praise you. We love you. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.